You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The New World's Order, Schools. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
2 months ago, Diane and I took our oldest daughter to college. Elizabeth is now a freshman at Valparaiso University in Indiana. Taking her to college was quite a moving experience. Literally, it was a moving experience. Clothes, books, hair dryer, TV, computer, and yes, even her pennant for the Boston Red Sox. The car was cram-packed. There's one other thing that we sent with Elizabeth. That was faith. Faith in God and in her Savior, our Savior, Jesus. Faith that knows that we're all sinners with glaring faults, but faith that holds to God's great word that we're forgiven because of Jesus. Faith that is active in good works, not a pie-in-the-sky escapist faith, but a faith that is both confident of heaven and ready to roll up the sleeves to make a difference in this world. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." In the New World Order that we find ourselves in after the fall of communism, our young people need sure hope and certainty for living. They need faith. That most important thing that you and I can and must share with our young people. Talk about young people and faith, and we find ourselves talking about schools. Today, schools are battlegrounds over what values should or shouldn't be taught. Should there be time for prayer in public schools? Should condoms be handed out in our public schools? And what about vouchers? Should tax dollars support the education of a child in a private or parochial school? If the Ten Commandments are found in the Supreme Court, why can't they be in our schools? There are good Christian people on both sides of almost every controversial school issue. My point now is this. You, as an individual, are not going to be able to shape any school, public or parochial, to be exactly as you want it to be. But what you can do, and should do, is to speak and model for your child the right faith. Send your child off to school each day, whether that be to kindergarten or college, with the right faith to help them through whatever they are going to meet. The right faith. There are also wrong faiths. This October, we're remembering important anniversaries. It was 75 years ago this month that the Bolsheviks grabbed for power in Russia. Last month, I heard a speech by the Attorney General of Missouri, William Webster. He told about a Russian official who had visited him and described a hole in the heart of the Russian people. That hole in the heart was the lack of Christ and the right faith. For almost 75 years, the Soviet communists taught in and out of school that the state was God. They taught their children that the religion Christians hold dear was, as Marx said, the opiate of the peoples. It took a long time before the people of Russia were able to regain control of their schools, but through those dark years, many Christian parents did their best to teach the right faith to their children. There's another anniversary this month. 3 years ago today, Erich Honecker was removed as communist leader of East Germany. How he and his cronies used the schools to teach the wrong faith. Many Christians throughout the world observe the practice of confirmation. Confirmation is a church ceremony where a person, usually a teenager, says, "Yes, I reaffirm that Christian faith into which I was baptized as a child." Well, the communists gave the children of East Germany a choice. Be confirmed in the church or go through a ceremony called Jugendweihe, a kind of confirmation into the Communist Party. On the one hand, they said, "Choose whichever one you want." But on the other hand, Choose confirmation in the church. Choose Christ and the right faith. And you can say goodbye to any aspirations you have for life in this society. There is a right faith and there is wrong faith. Communism is largely gone now. But many of our schools, teachers, and parents in Western countries hold to a faith called humanism or secular humanism. Recently, a letter to the editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch identified this faith. Most people don't seem to have a very good idea of just what secular humanism is. Essentially, humanists see human beings as being responsible for their own destiny and being ultimately capable of ordering their own society, free of superstition and dogma. Our concerns are human rights, justice, freedom, the environment, overpopulation, pollution, and all human concerns that are also being addressed by many religious groups. We simply do not see any reason to appeal to the supernatural for assistance with these problems. Now, when you take your child to kindergarten, to college, or to any grade in between, you are taking them to a school where they are going to be exposed to teachers and to peers that promote values that may or may not correspond with your own. Your child may have a fine Christian professor, a secular humanist, or even a communist dinosaur. It's inevitable in this world of ideas and communication that your child is going to be exposed to faiths that are wrong when measured against the standard of God's Word in the Gospel of Christ. While you do need to be interested in how your schools are run and what is being taught, it is more important to the New World Order that you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The right faith has an objective and a subjective side. The objective side are the facts of the faith. The King James translation of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for." Substance, it says. There is a factual content to faith. That content begins with God Himself. "In the beginning, God," says Genesis 1:1. From there on, the Bible doesn't waste any time wondering if God exists or not. This stands in stark contrast to so much thinking in our society and schools that shuts God out of the universe. Too many of our academics teach a closed system. They teach only the natural and do not admit a role for the supernatural. They teach only cause and effect and no room for the mighty working of God. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "By faith, we know that God created the world by His word, so that what we see was not made from what can be seen." This God, who made the natural world, has also intervened from time to time, but most notably when He sent His Son into the world to save our world. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "In the past, God spoke to our fathers at many times and in various ways through the prophets. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son, whom He made the heir of everything, and by whom He also made the world." This Son of God is Jesus Christ. He is the one, the only one, who lived a perfect life. He is the one who was executed on a Roman cross, and there at that cross, God punished Him for your sins. That means that your sins, be they sins of parenting, personal sins, professional sins, sins you know about, or sins you're unaware of, what you feel guilty about, everything wrong about you, was punished by God. God didn't punish you, however. He punished Jesus in your place. After Jesus died on that Roman cross, God restored Him to life. God wouldn't have done that if He had not been pleased with Jesus' sacrifice in your place. When you remember that Jesus had promised eternal life to His followers, something secular humanists don't believe in, you remember, you can be sure that God wants you to have life, or He wouldn't have raised Jesus from the dead. This is part, not all, but the most important part of the content of the Christian faith. St. Paul talks about this objective content in 1 Corinthians 15. "My fellow Christians, I am making known to you the gospel which I brought to you, which you accepted, on which you now stand, and by which you are saved, if you cling to the word I preached to you. For I brought you what I received, something very important, that Christ died for our sins as the Scriptures said he would, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day as the Scriptures said he would. Later, Peter saw him, then the 12, then more than 500 Christians at one time. This objective content of faith cannot be taught in public schools, but it is being taught in well over 21,000 private church schools in the United States alone. It is taught in many churches. It is taught in Sunday schools. Since our homes are not bugged by the communists, there's no reason why you can't teach this objective faith in your home to your children. The fact that you cannot control everything that is taught in the schools doesn't mean that you can't teach the faith to your child. Now, this objective faith also has a subjective side. The subjective side is that God the Holy Spirit leads people to believe that the gospel of God in Jesus Christ is true and is our only hope and certainty for life. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel to believe the objective truths about Jesus and the Bible. These facts of faith go beyond the individual believer's heart. A myth that is popular today is that values are neutral things that have no impact on life. Values do have impact. This is no neutral thing, this biblical faith. Hebrews 11:6 says it is impossible to please God without faith. Yes, if anyone comes to God, he must believe that God exists and rewards those who search for him. There's more here than just the best way to teach your kids. There's more here than how to order life in the new world after communism. Here, we're talking about eternal salvation, yours and your child's. Here, we are talking about the most important lesson that anyone can ever teach and anyone can ever learn, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this only a pie in the sky, escapist faith? Are we avoiding the problems of our country and world when we talk about Jesus the Savior? The secular humanist I quoted earlier also said this: humanists, as a whole, seem more concerned with society than many religious groups, especially those who believe the present life is just a stepping stone to the hereafter. Humanists are concerned with addressing and correcting problems now, seeing no evidence of an afterlife. Well, there are problems in our country and world, no doubt about that. In 1986, the Union of International Associations listed 10,000 world problems that need to be solved. We need all the educated citizens our schools and universities can produce. Dr. Martin Luther wrote this about faith and works in his preface for the Epistle to the Romans: "Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Because of it, without compulsion, a person is ready and glad to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything, out of love and praise to God who has shown this grace. Thus it is impossible to separate works from faith, quite as impossible as to separate heat and light from fire." You and I need to search the Bible and learn more and more about this Christianity so that God the Holy Spirit might bless each of us with an act of faith. We need to teach this faith to the children who learn who knows what in their schools. The magazine USA Weekend reported this past August the following results from a survey of 126,000 teens. 3 in 10 said they would loaf on the job. 1 out of 4 would give free food to friends who visited them at work in a restaurant. If a clerk mistakenly gave too much change, 2 in 5 teens would keep it. Nearly 3 in 10 would cheat on a test. Disturbing? Maybe to you, but not to the teens. 92% were satisfied with their values. The secular humanism we've had for a generation in many schools and in much of the media has helped to produce these statistics. Our kids need to know eternal values for their lives in this world. Most young people say that they want to know these values. We can't cop out by blaming the schools for everything. When you and I send our children to kindergarten, to college, or to any grade in between, we can send them off having taught them the greatest fact and value of all. God has intervened in this world. He has given us all a Savior, Jesus Christ. That faith moves us to do good until God calls us to eternity. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.